Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
Good afternoon. Please be seated. Chief Justice Kennedy, Justices, may it please the court. My name is Tanya O'Rourke Dieters, and I am very honored to be invited by Mrs. Douglas to help celebrate the memory of Justice Andrew Grant Douglas. Welcome, Sue Douglas, Chip Douglas, former and retired justices, judges, attorneys, and friends of Justice Douglas and the court. Thank you to the Commission on the Thomas J. Moyer Ohio Judicial Center for its support, and thank you to the family and friends who are joining the ceremony via live stream. Would everyone please rise as Pastor Chris Martin of the Linworth Road Church leads us in an opening prayer.
In 2015, Andy and Sue crossed the street to attend our church, and we had a wonderful relationship that we enjoyed many times. We were the recipient of Andy and Sue's generosity and their hospitality, and so Sue asked me today to offer a prayer, of which I am honored to do for Andy's benefit. It is a joyous occasion today to remember this man's gifts and his legacy, and particularly to this court. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of life and for every year that you gave Andy. Thank you for the gifts that you entrusted to him. Thank you for his service to this court and to the people of Ohio. We remember him today with great affection. Thank you for your grace, Father, a grace more than sufficient to cover all of our flaws and our sins. Thank you that this was a grace that Andy knew, a grace that you revealed to him. So we entrust this afternoon's ceremony and reception to you. For those who still feel the sting of his loss, might there be a moment today that releases your presence and along with it a peace and comfort that cannot be explained. Thank you, we say again, for the hope of resurrection and future renewal. In the name of your Son, amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Chief Justice Kennedy. George Gherkin was a Toledo City police officer when Andy Douglas was a city councilman. George was active in the police union, so he and Andy worked together on police contracts. Now, that was back in the 1970s. They became friends, lifelong friends. When George decided to attend Andy's alma mater, the College of Law at the University of Toledo, George graduated top of his class. It was a proud moment for Andy, who had encouraged George along the way. As time went by, Andy began to use George as his personal attorney. It was George's turn to be proud, to have Andy trust him in that way. Ladies and gentlemen, George Gherkin of the Gherkin Law Group.
Thank you. Madam Chief Justice, members of the court, family and friends of Andy, and distinguished guests. So we were here yesterday for a walkthrough, and I got to see the portrait over here unveiled. And I didn't think that I would really feel this way, but I'm getting the feeling that Andy's under that portrait staring at me, because I know he's looking this way. And I'm flashing back to the time I asked him, hey, would you critique my oral argument or my opening statement? And I can say for sure this time that this is the first time he's heard it, and this is the first time I'm not going to have to make any edits on it. So many of the remarks today are going to be about Andy as a lawyer, a judge, politician. I'm going to try to focus on the part that I knew best, and that was Andy as his role as a politician, as a husband, a father, and a friend. Those are the things that I remember Andy as. As you were told, I've known Andy for about 50 years, and I met him back in Toledo. It was a tough time. I was an executive police union. He was a city councilman. We were in contract negotiations. The police and firemen decided it would be a good idea to go on strike. First time in Ohio that ever happened for public employees, and it was a mess. And I know everybody in this room, everybody up here. We all have that one instance where you can think back, and it's like a picture in your mind. No matter how much time has gone by, you can see that picture. And I can tell you, I can see that picture with Andy. He and I were standing, I think it was on the 12th floor of the Hillcrest Hotel. We were looking out the windows, and below us there was an appliance store that was being looted. And there were two buildings on fire. No policeman, no fire to respond. And I remember he looked at me, I looked at him, and I could tell he was thinking the same thing I was. Are what we doing right now so important that we are inflicting that upon the citizens of Toledo? Well, fortunately, we didn't have to think about it too long because the Common Pleas Court decided it was a really bad idea and ordered us back to work in a TRO. And back then, they gave us a $10,000 a day fine, which was a lot. So back to the negotiating table we went. And I thought, boy, we're going to get hammered. We have no leverage. That's when Andy stepped up. And he literally and figuratively grabbed the union by the collar, and he grabbed the city by the collar, and he dragged us into a room. And we didn't leave until we settled that contract. And it was actually a fair contract on both sides. At that point, I said to myself, wow, this is a guy I'd really like to get to know better. Now, one of the things I've heard over the years is that Andy has been called a fixer. That means he fixed problems. I never really liked that term. I thought it had some negative connotations. I like to think of Andy as a problem solver, which I think every speaker will tell you that's how they viewed him, as a problem solver. Throughout my life, I saw many, many problems that Andy worked on in solving, but I want to share with you one of the most trivial, because honestly, I think it goes to the heart of who Andy is. So, one weekend, Andy invited myself and my family up to his lake house in Michigan. And we got there on a Friday night. I remember he looks at my daughter, 8-year-old, her name is Juliet. He said, Juliet, can you water ski? And she goes, well, no. And I said, Andy, she's 8. She doesn't have the upper body strength to pull herself out of the water, but she can't water ski. We go to bed. I get up in the morning. My daughter is not in her bed. Andy's not in the cottage. I walk down to the lake, and there's Andy going by in his boat with my daughter water skiing behind him. And they come back in, and she's doing daddy, daddy, and I'm going, great, honey. And Andy looked at me and goes, well, that problem's solved. I guess she can water ski this weekend. So honestly, that was, I think, probably for me, one of the best examples. Those of us who really knew Andy, he could exhibit a somewhat gruff exterior. He's a little hard sometimes to deal with. But after a while, you really got to know that under that facade, he was one of the most generous and empathetic people that I ever knew. He surprised me time and time again. No matter how many times he was put off with me, with Chip, with Sue, whoever, no matter how many times he was put off with us, he could work his way through it and help us when we needed it. And I think that's one of the legacies that he's leaving. And I would be remiss, honestly, if I didn't mention how easily and what a great team he and Sue made through the years. He was a great lawyer, but like a friend of mine, Tom Austin, mentioned to me today, hey, there's always that person behind the curtain, and that person was Sue. She headed him in the right direction a lot. Not that he needed much direction, or at least he wouldn't admit it, but she did. I can remember the times that Sue and Andy and my wife Leslie and I were out to dinner, and the easy banter that went back and forth and how easy Andy was, it would surprise most of the people in the room that hadn't spent much time with him. He was just really an easygoing guy. Those of you that knew him, he liked to be in control. He liked to have everything lined up. Well, we were in Europe one time, and Leslie and Sue decided that we wanted to take a spontaneous impromptu trip to Monaco. And we would have to get on public transportation, a train, and go somewhere we'd never been before, didn't know the language, and didn't know what we'd do. And I looked at Andy and I said, oh, this isn't going to fly. And he just said, okay. That's the kind of guy he really was underneath. He was just really easygoing and easy to work with. So one of the accomplishments in my life that I can say I'm proud of is that Andy was my mentor and he was my friend. He encouraged me to go to law school, as you've heard. He was there when I graduated. And I think he probably thought that that was just one of those problems solved. He made it so I could be a lawyer. He still inspires me, and I hope he inspires you all, because his motto, and he lived it, was that do the right thing, not the easy thing. And I can tell you how many times Andy did what he thought was the right thing that got him in hot water with a lot of people, but he did it anyway. He held true to his convictions. The other thing was to help those people who are in need of help and deserve it, and he would always do that. So rest in peace, my friend, and thank you all for coming.
Thank you, Mr. Gherkin. When I was coming up here today, I said to everyone possible, I hope I don't mess up. Well, in front of the Supreme Court justices and the Chief Justice, I did. I skipped the Chief Justice's welcome remarks. My apologies, Chief Justice. Don't sanction me.
Absolutely not. I'll sanction your husband.
I think that's all.
Well, good afternoon. My colleagues and I are pleased to welcome Sue Douglas and the family and friends and legal associates of Justice Andy Douglas here today. Friends of the court, retired Justices Paul Pfeiffer, Herbert Brown, William O'Neill, and Senator Paula Hicks Hudson, thank you for coming out today. We hope that many of you have taken the opportunity to enjoy the art and the architecture of the Thomas J. Moyer Judicial Center. Bringing in new artwork really adds to the story of the history of the Supreme Court of Ohio, and today, its dedication marks the 53rd Justice portrait to our collection. You will see the portrait's artist and the former attorney, Gregory Gibson, has captured the fiery Scottish-American you will hear many stories about in the next hour, including that little twinkle in his eye. Andy Douglas was an Ohioan who loved his home city, Toledo, and his home state. He was a scholar who was committed to lifelong learning, a hard worker who valued the systems of politics and government and coming together. Known for carrying a U.S. Constitution in his pocket and giving out copies every chance he could get, Justice Douglas knew and never forgot that those citizens, the voters, are at the heart of our Republican system, in the center of government. And the voters chose him over and over again. Arguably, his most important election, I was told, was when his classmates at Stickney Elementary School elected him the fifth grade fire marshal. Perhaps that's what sparked a fire in his heart for public service, which he never left. And he became very accomplished at. Justice Douglas proudly served our country in the United States Army, earning the rank of first lieutenant when he was honorably discharged. After graduating from the University of Toledo College of Law, he became the youngest elected city councilman in Toledo history today. In total, he was elected and served 10 consecutive two terms, known as the Dean of the Toledo City Council. For some people, that would have been a great career and a good place to finish. But he had more service to give. He was elected to the 6th District Court of Appeals, and when he perceived criticism for not having served on the Common Pleas bench, he asked the then Chief Justice to assign him as a visiting judge to the Court of Common Pleas. He had a reputation as being a hard worker. In his 3 terms on the Supreme Court, he authored 927 opinions. And he did most of it by longhand on legal pad. As much an editor as a writer, he was known for the famous red pen, and maybe many judicial attorneys and staffers still carry a story or two of being redlined by the justice. Justice Douglas trained his staff well. He last served on the court in 2002, but 2 of his former law clerks still serve the court today, James Bembico and Alicia Elwing. They're valued members of our staff. In the 41 years of elected office, voters never forgot that he was committed to community, his city, and the state of Ohio. If you talk to Toledoans, they know he will never forget and never forgot his home. Justice Douglas reflected the values of his parents, neighbors, and Ohioans who elected him. He belonged to a grocery union as a young man and was a lifelong friend to labor and the working man. Having grown up in a diverse and impoverished neighborhood, he had a view of equality for all Ohioans. When he donned on the robe, he was a champion of transparent judiciary and of fairness under the law. And when his time on the court was done, like so many of those circuit-riding judges of the early days of the Supreme Court, Justice Douglas returned to the practice of law. His wisdom, integrity, and spirit, working for justice right up till the very end of his life. And so today, we take a special time to listen to and reflect upon the life and the unique style of Justice Andy Douglas. We honor his reverence for the law, respect for the judiciary. Generations will cherish his story through his work of art. Thank you for being here today to share in this great day. May God bless all of you.
Thank you, and apologies again. Paul O. Scott is a past president of the Central Ohio Association for Justice and the Ohio Association for Justice, and a fellow of the American College of Trial Lawyers. It was through his work as a trial lawyer that Paul met Andy Douglas, and while they both held titles over the years, the most important one they shared was friend. That friendship grew strong over 50 years. It was fueled by Justice Douglas's love of questions and hypotheticals they could debate for hours. Join me in welcoming Andy Douglas's friend, Paul Scott.
May it please the court, I'm very honored to share a few comments about my friend, Justice Andy Douglas. I start, similar to what Mr. Gherkin said, his love for his family. In the last few years, I would see Andy building a new house, going into a new neighborhood, buying new cars, a little bit out of character. And I said, Andy, what are you doing with all these new things? He said, Paul, it's very important to me that Sue be very comfortable when I pass. In an interview about Sue, he discussed her. She's beautiful and accomplished, and there's not a major decision, both personally and professionally, that I don't run by her. And we all know he loved the law. He considered each day on this Ohio Supreme Court to be an intellectual feast. He authored over 900 opinions. At the time of his death, he has 10 pending cases. You know, his hypothetical questions are legendary. A good time to Andy was watching a television sporting event and asking you 10 hypothetical questions. And they weren't easy. Let me ask you this. How do you define you? What do you mean? Well, you in an insurance policy, how would you define it? On and on. What do you think about reputation? What do you mean? It's listed separately in the Constitution. Do you think caps apply to that? On and on and on. His encyclopedic knowledge of the law is legendary. And every one of us knows about his red pen and knows about his pocket Constitution. He used the pen to correct people. He used the Constitution to educate people. Andy's best friends was the late Alan Shulman. And Alan called Andy Douglas the best law clerk he ever had. And they had a little routine where they would ask a lot of questions of each other, and then somebody would say, brain closed. And so it caught on between them. Andy would ask Alan a lot of questions, and Alan would say, brain closed. Alan would ask Andy a lot of questions, and Andy would say, brain closed. Mark Weaver tells the story that he was having difficulty understanding an arcane point of law, election law. Couldn't figure it out. So he went to Andy's offices, and Andy gets up, walks over, takes a book off the shelves, turns to the page, and said, Mark, right there's your answer. He did that for so many people. He loved the law. Many of his cases are discussed and mentioned in the program that we have. Now, John Robinson Block, the editor of the Toledo Blade, said Andy has a trenchant kind of incisive mind. Now, Andy loved politics, okay? He started as that farm marshal, read somewhere where 80% of Congress was lawyers or made up of lawyers, said, I'll be a lawyer, developed his own election formula, PPLIC, party, paper, labor, incumbency, and the church, especially the Catholic Church. You know, he was always involved in things up in the political arena. And just when you thought you were ahead of Andy, Chase Clements, a former columnist for the Toledo Blade, wrote, you might think you're a step ahead of Andy Douglas, but you're probably already two steps behind, and maybe more. And he loved Toledo. He loved Toledo. Everything centered around his relationships in Toledo. You know, he had that one campaign slogan, an open line to City Hall. He published his phone number. He had a radio show, Mr. Cunningham, Rap with Andy, you know, in Toledo. He's always involved in the issues in Toledo, never forgot to help them out. And the issues are described in the program that you have. May it please the court, this is a little cartoon that I'd like to show the audience that I think fairly summarizes his relationship with the city of Toledo. In the Toledo Blade, in Gotham City, there's the bat signal. We send for Batman. In Toledo, there's the Andy Douglas signal. We send for Andy Douglas. Andy loved ordinary people. He walked with kings, but he never lost the common touch. He enjoyed business and labor. He was very happy serving as the director of the Ohio Association of Civil Service Employees, Ohio Civil Service Employees Association. He expressed his philosophy in a graduating speech for law students in 1997. I can think of no greater comfort than laying down your head on your pillow each night, knowing on the day you help somebody. We in our profession can do that every day. Keith Burris, a former editor of the Toledo Blade, said he was kind of a mythical character, solicitous and yet feral. As a side, I looked that up, you know, a little wild animal at times. And that was a good description of this mythical man up in Toledo. There's some Methodism in the family, and I'm reminded of John Wesley's prayer, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. That was and is the spirit of Andy Douglas.
You don't want to forget the red pen. Bill Cunningham has spent four decades as a Cincinnati radio host on WLW Radio. Willie, as he's known to friends and listeners, considers himself an accidental talk show host. His first career is as an attorney. He and Justice Douglas got their law degrees from the University of Toledo. They also shared a love of the law and a love of sports. Cunningham was captain of the Xavier University baseball team as an undergrad, and Justice Douglas pitched for the not-so-world-famous Supreme Court softball team for more than a dozen years. Perhaps most notable, each in their own work, shared their respect for the voice of the common man. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Cunningham.
You know, I was here one time in my life on a case, and I lost easily, and I'm glad the panel has changed from that point. But Chief Justice Kennedy, it's a pleasure to be here. In a place far, far away, Andy Douglas and I were simply friends. I was a bailiff in the court of Judge Robert Vernon Franklin in Lucas County, Ohio. And one of my first days there, I was in his chambers, and I said to the judge, why is that picture you have with Martin Luther King Jr.? And he said, he was my best buddy. And I said, well, he said, he was my roommate at Morehouse College, 48 and 49, told me stories, went out to the courtroom. First case, there sits Alice Roby Resnick, who just had married Mel Resnick. At the defense table was Annie Douglas, and sitting there at the on the right side was a person named Judy Lanzinger. So I reflected upon that. How's it possible in one county you can have three justices from the same place? How's that possible? I don't know. So from that point on, Andy and I hit it off. He was in the throes of a council campaign. He said to Penny and I, can I put a sign in your yard? And I said, sure, put a sign in the yard. Went out to a place called Posner's Delicatessen in Toledo to have some roast beef and corned beef. And there came a time where Andy, who was in office for about 4 to 5 terms, and when you're in a city council, whether it's Columbus, Cincinnati, Toledo, and you run 10 times for city council, and win every time, you've been to every bingo hall, you've been to every part, you've been all over the town, and you never stop campaigning. So about 1971, the sign's in the yard, Andy's endorsed by the trade unions. Andy's was, he was smart. He had lawyer for the trade unions. He was a Republican. Yeah, he was Catholic. This guy was, he was everything to everybody, and the big headline in the paper was, Douglas loses seat, Toledo Blade. So the next morning, we assume he had won, so I'm in Judge Franklin's chambers, and he said, well, you know, I can't believe Andy lost. About a day goes by, he comes into the courtroom, and he's got his chin is stuck to his chest. He said, I can't believe I lost. I've always finished second, first, or third, and now I've finished 14th out of 15. I said, this is impossible. So about 10 days go by, and they found whatever it was, a mathematical error, and he finished second instead of 14th. He had told his staff, he conceded the race. The person who finished ninth lost, and Andy moved up the ladder. And he always said something, and this was from Martin Luther King Jr., keep hope alive. He said, just keep hope alive. And Andy won. So the years rolled by, and he was the kind of character where, because we had similar interests, he was a radio talk show host, for God's sakes. And he said to me, you know, if I go to statewide office, I'd like to be on your radio show. So in 1984, Andy got a hold of me a few months way before that. He said, I'm going to run for the Supreme Court. I said, you got to be kidding me, Andy. You never run statewide. You're running against an incumbent. And Andy said, I need your help. So I put him on the show with me in 1984 repeatedly. And guess what? Andy Douglas won his race for the House Supreme Court. And he came on the next night on the radio with me and said he pulled Ronald Reagan over the finish line. That it was actually him who called Ronald Reagan to win Ohio. I think Reagan that year won like 49 states, but and he took responsibility for all 49. So I would have him on once or twice a year, whatever the issues were. And then at some point, because of the intercession, perhaps, of one of the justices sitting behind me, the good governor of Ohio, George Voinovich, had the wise decision of appointing my wife to Common Pleas Court. And so the first person to call to congratulate was Andy. I said, should I call you Judge Justice? He says, you better call me. I said, Andy, thank you. And by the way, would you? Penny got on the phone, took all the niceties, and said, and she said to Andy, would you handle the investiture? And there was no one, with all due respect to the seven great Americans behind me, who did a better job at investitures than Annie Douglas. So, and I'm so heartened to hear from Sue when he had a brief conversation a bit ago about that was his favorite investiture. Of the dozens or hundreds he ever did, he always talked about Penny Cunningham because our son put the robe on. Her dad, who was a brave Marine in World War II, put the robe on. And one of the parts of Annie Douglas's situation was the magical eight ball. And so it's very ornate. Andy had a way of making people laugh and smile and enjoy themselves in serious situations. And so we're up there with three or four other justices. I think Moyer the Great would do the next investiture with Penny. But on this investiture, he said, you're going to have difficult questions on the bench. What is the rule in Shelley's case? He reached to his feet and pulled out this magical eight ball, and he turned it around, and it said, you know, that's an interesting point. And he said, just say it's an interesting point and move on. He said, if you get a case on allied offenses, those can be difficult at times, allied offenses, pull out the eight ball. And this one said, you win and you lose. And that way, neither party knows if they won or lost, and just write the opinion. And Andy was hilarious at doing these investitures. The time went by. And we did the next investiture for Penny when she got to the Court of Appeals, and I called him Moyer the Great, because I think he did a fabulous job. Look at this building as Chief Justice. And Andy got on me and said, why didn't you invite me to do it? And I said, I talked to Joe, and Joe said, you were busy that night. He said, I would have broken that agreement to have done that investiture. I said, well, Chief Justice Moore did a great job, and believe me, you would have done a better job, but Andy, thank you, I'm sorry. And he says, she ever runs for anything else, I'm doing the investiture. I said, Andy, that's no problem at all. When you think of little Toledo, Ohio, with Paul and George and myself, when I finished working for Robert Franklin at 4 years as a bailiff, Andy said to me, you know, we need a new lawyer in the firm. And he was with a guy named Jeff Leidy at that point, and it was Douglas and Leidy in Winchester. And I said, I think I'm going to take a job with Schnorf, Schnorf, and Schnorf. David Schnorf, Brandon Schnorf Sr., and Brandon Schnorf Jr., Schnorf, Schnorf, and Schnorf. He said, wait a minute. You're telling no to Andy Douglas and yes to someone named Schnorf? Are you kidding me? I said, I'm sorry, I liked him. But my goal, our goal was to get back to Cincinnati. We spent 7 or 8 great years in Toledo meeting people like Alice Ruby Resnick and Mel Resnick and Judy Lanziger. Great, it was a great legal community, and I pray to God it still is. But the brightest star in that community was Annie Douglas, because he could walk into any situation. He was, according to Sue, he would listen to my radio show on Sunday nights on TVN here in Columbus, and he would argue with her about things that I was saying. He said, he's not the common man, I'm the common man. Classic cartoon. In Toledo Blade, when it was discovered 10 days later that Annie, in fact, had won, they had a column, a cartoon where they took a pair of scissors and cut the line to City Hall, and it was falling. Annie was sitting like this. And when it came out, I guess it was a hanging chad or something, I'm not sure what it was, that came out, he actually won. They had Band-Aid they put on the line to City Hall. And Annie, 10 days of complete disaster, and Annie finally won. I would like to think, as we sit here in 2023, that Andy won. That when a person dies in their 20s or 30s or as a child, you'd have to wonder, what would have been the arc of their life? What would they have done if they had sufficient time? In Andy's case, he was a son and a father and a grandfather and a great-grandfather. He was a soldier. He was an officer in the United States Army. Also a business owner. He was a lawyer that represented OCSCA. In fact, Penny was elected president of OCSEA and University of Toledo, and to a statewide office under Andy's advice. He later in his life became the attorney for OCSEA. So we don't have to wonder, don't have to think what could have happened, what might have happened, what should have happened. Andy Douglas and the portrait on their pamphlets reflect that look in his eye. I can only imagine what he's thinking with that look, and it probably wasn't kind to the person he was addressing his remarks. I'm sure now that Andy is in the arms of God Almighty looking down, and he's thankful. He hated funerals, didn't want to go, didn't want one. And I hope 2 years after his passing into the arms of God Almighty, he knows he was loved by all who met him. I believe he was respected by all who argued before him. And each of us, in some way, is lessened by his passing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cunningham. The Honorable Paul Pfeiffer is a retired justice of the Supreme Court and current executive director of the Ohio Judicial Conference. Judge Pfeiffer grew up on a dairy farm in Bucyrus. Judge Douglas grew up in the city. When they met, Paul Pfeiffer was serving in the General Assembly. He credits Justices Andy Douglas and Craig Wright for encouraging him to run for the Supreme Court. The men served together on the court. Their work exemplified that in pursuit of justice, people of all backgrounds can find common ground in Ohio. Ladies and gentlemen, Justice Paul Pfeiffer.
Chief Justice Kennedy, members of the court, ladies and gentlemen, I first met Andy Douglas in the year that he first ran for the Supreme Court. He came to Bucyrus and addressed our local bar association. There must have been all of 12 or 15 of us showed up for that event, and he and Craig Wright came to address the reasons they should be elected to the Supreme Court. Well, I had heard about this red-headed firebrand from the Toledo City Council. I didn't know much about him from the Court of Appeals years, but he was legendary in Northwest Ohio, even clear down in Bucyrus for his days on the Supreme Court. What surprised me that day was that he gave a rather measured speech about why he should be elected to the court. Versus the incumbent judge that he was running against on the Supreme Court. Craig Wright, on the other hand, peeled the paper right off of the wall when he gave the reasons why he should beat Jimmy Celebrezze for the Supreme Court. They were both elected at the same time, and I think my next encounter was when Craig Wright and Andy Douglas called me when I was chairing the Senate Judiciary Committee and said, we're really unhappy about some things that are happening at the Supreme Court, and we'd like to come over and testify in the Senate Judiciary Committee about that. Now, I don't remember any longer exactly what it was that had them upset, but I think the members of the court behind me know that that's a historic occasion when justices of the Supreme Court decide to go public with their grievances about what was going on at the Supreme Court at the time. They came, and it did make a reasonable amount of news. Andy was never quiet about his views. So, fast forward to 1992, and Andy and Craig Wright started working on me along with Bob Bennett, the state Republican chairman. I just lost a race for attorney general to run for the Supreme Court, and I knew what they were up to. I was a cheap date because I now had name awareness, and they thought, it wouldn't take much money for me to get elected, and I resisted. And Andy and Craig both kept saying, the work of the court is really an intellectual feast, as Paul Scott has mentioned. So he was responsible in a major way, talking me into running, and I was never disappointed with the advice that he gave me. Looking at the program, it's amazing how time flies. It seems like I served a lot longer with Andy Douglas on the court than I did. It was 10 years that we served together. Andy was all of the things that you've heard today, but most importantly, I want to talk just briefly about his work as a justice. He had a bad rap, I think, among some who thought he was too liberal, too labor-oriented, you name it, things that might not be popular in the Republican Party. And he really wasn't any of those things. He was just interested in the law. He was, in fact, when you were involved in interpreting a statute, pretty much a letter of the law guy. He was not trying to bend the statute into something that it wasn't. He really followed what he thought weren't fair interpretations of legislation. It was in the area of common law where he shined, and in the area of constitutional law. And as has been indicated, he was very much involved with the legendary DeRolf case, the school funding case that made its way to the Supreme Court, and involved four different iterations before the court finally released that. Now, Andy, being Andy, would like to know what you're thinking ahead of oral argument. That just never happened with, and again, that was a myth about the court. None of the justices on that important case discussed their views before oral arguments. It was only after oral arguments when they discussed the holding in the case and how it would be written. He bragged that he was the only one to be in the majority in all four cases. That always irritated me a little bit because he voted to walk away from the third holding of the court when a great public fuss occurred, and to join four members of the court in saying, well, we'll reconsider that. And then the fourth holding of the court was the final release of that. But the tribute to Andy from that case is if you travel the state of Ohio, you will notice how many new school buildings were built across this state after that case was decided. Now, that's not what the case was about. It was about the funding. But the legislature's easier response was to, for the first time in the history of the state, to contribute substantial funds for the construction of new school buildings. And there's shining examples across this state, and I know that Andy was proud every time he had an opportunity to visit one of those school buildings and see the environment, the improved environment that was available to children. And now, how many years later, the General Assembly finally, under the leadership of Bob Kupp, also a former member of the Supreme Court, changed the funding formula to come much closer to the holdings of the DeRolf case. I don't want to be too serious. We all of us that served with Andy miss him. We talked frequently after he left the court. He would call me and say, I was just thinking about you today, and I'm going, baloney, Andy, you're driving up Route 23 and you saw the sign to Bucyrus. That's when you thought of me. And that was usually true, because he did love Toledo, as been stated. He loved the law, he loved Toledo, but as was indicated, he was competitive. He loved pitching for the Supreme Court softball team. We formed our own softball team, and he beat the Piper for Justice team up pretty badly from time to time. And I don't claim any responsibility for that, because I was such a poor ball player that nobody invited me to even serve on our own team. Andy and Sue been to my home and shot hoops and played horse with my daughters when they were in high school and were basketball players. And perhaps my favorite story, again, an example of how Andy would not walk away from any challenge, is we bought a large standard bred horse breeding farm. I didn't know anything about horse breeding, but needless to say, I told a few stories about the process of collecting the stallions for artificial insemination. So Andy and Sue came up to the farm one day on breeding day and wanted to see this in person. And so we go to the breeding shed and we bring a stallion in. And then we explained to Andy, part of this is a warm bucket of water and a sponge, and you get to wash the stallion. And he did. Pretty dangerous thing, but he didn't shy away from it at all. There was no challenge that Andy wouldn't accept and meet. I think one of the things that I remember the most about Andy Douglas is, friend or foe, if you ask him for help, he would help you. He would give advice. He loved when somebody had a problem, a personal problem, a legal problem, you name it. They could have been somebody that had always been a bitter enemy, but they came to Andy for advice, and he freely gave it. He will be forever missed by all of you who had an opportunity to know him. He loved the law, he loved Toledo, and most of all, he loved Sue. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Piper. Justices of the Supreme Court generally speak through their decisions, their opinions, and their orders. Well, today, the friends of Justice Andy Douglas have shared a broader picture, as you've heard, of the lawyer, the politician, the public servant, and the man. The portrait being donated to the permanent portraiture collection at the Supreme Court stands as Andy Douglas's place in the history of the Ohio judiciary. We would like to acknowledge and give special thanks to the benefactors who made this portrait possible. And you will find their names in the back of the program, so please take a look. Right now, I'd like to recognize Greg Gibson. Greg is an award-winning artist from Dayton, a Presbyterian minister, and a retired attorney. He's a member of the Oil Painters of America and the Portrait Society of America. Would you like to stand, please? Greg's painting is a passion for bringing the subject to life on canvas. Using photographic references and conversations with Sue Douglas and friends of the justice, he created the likeness in oil on canvas. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sue Douglas. And please unveil the artwork.
On behalf of the Commission on the Thomas J. Moyer Ohio Judicial Center and the Supreme Court of Ohio, we accept this portrait into the permanent collection. Thank you.
Justice Douglas was a mentor and a friend to Justice Joseph Dieters for 3 decades. While it is my great privilege to serve as part of this ceremony, I unfortunately never got to meet Justice Douglas. But I feel like I know him because my husband, Justice Dieters, is one of his biggest fans. Joe talks about Andy weekly, sometimes daily. And before Andy passed away, they would talk on the phone for 20, 30, maybe more minutes at a time. The stories I hear about Andy are usually funny, but mostly Joe talks about the lessons that Andy taught him, something as simple as redirecting Joe's thinking. That can be hard. Changing his perspective. Okay. I should have paused for a little bit. Changing his perspective ever so slightly and yet very impactfully. Or perhaps how Andy would have dealt with the situation, political or otherwise. I know this. When Joe talks about Andy, it's always with a huge smile. Joe?
Is it my turn?
Okay,
thank you. I've never had my wife introduce me before, so thank you, Tanya. I'd also like to welcome all of Andy's friends and family, especially his beloved wife, Sue, to the ceremony dedicating Andy's portrait to the court. Andy, to those of you who knew him, practiced with him, and those that served with him, he was a force of nature. I tell everyone that. I don't have any good artificial insemination stories about horses, but I will tell you the following. Andy was brilliant. He was hysterically funny. He always, without exception, looked out for the little guy. For those of you who did know Andy, he was a friend of unions, a friend of safety forces, and a friend of the poor. He was always very sensitive to the potential abuse of power by the government. He was a model of bipartisanship. And I have never known like anyone like Andy Douglas ever. Andy was my friend, my second father, and in my professional life, he graciously shared Sue with me. And he even changed my life before I met him. In the early 80s and 90s, I was an assistant prosecutor. I was in court every day. I'm in jury trials, handling investigations with homicide police, everything from speeding tickets to serial killers. I was literally fighting in the trenches every day, like my daughter Elise does today. Even then, when people I worked with, judges, other lawyers, even some reporters, would often ask me, "Do you ever want to be a judge?" And invariably I'd say, "Gosh, no. That sounds so boring. Sit around and read all the time, no action, no thanks." So one morning, in early November of 1991, I'm reading the newspaper. The story I read described an actual fist fight that occurred in the Supreme Court of Ohio between Justice Craig Wright and Justice Andy Douglas. An actual fight in this court. Wow, I thought. Now that's a place I can work in someday. After I got to know Andy, he would describe the fight that occurred in the court and what really happened. He would tell everyone that there were 2 hits in the fight. Craig hit him and Andy hit the floor. And of course, in typical Andy fashion, after that little clash, Craig and Andy were fast friends. So today we're honoring Andy with this beautiful portrait. It clearly captures a piece of Andy's character and demeanor. And what no portrait could ever show was Andy's brilliance, his humor, his love for this state, and his love for his friends and family, and in particular, his remarkable love for his wife, Sue. Ohio was so blessed to have Andy on the Supreme Court. We are all blessed to have Andy as our friend, and I know I will be forever grateful to have had Andy in my life. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you, Justice Dieters. Please rise for the benediction, after which you may remain standing.
I'm tempted to add to all these stories, but I won't, except one that Andy helped my own son, who was in law school at Capitol, and we had some incredible lunches, and we received all the same questions after arguing with vigor for both sides equally. He would look at my son and say, how would you judge? What would you do? He was in his first year of law school, and he met it with only stunned silence. But when my son moved to a different state, received his passed his bar, began practicing, and when wanting to leave for another job, Andy wrote a sterling reference for him, one of which the firm to which he was going, the father of the then head of the firm had a personal relationship with Andy, but the man in charge, the head of the firm, at first was quite skeptical that he was receiving a reference from Andy Douglas. But lo and behold, he made a phone call to Andy, found out it was legitimate and valid, and helped my son land that position, which he incredibly enjoys. It's a wonderful, wonderful firm. So Andy has been a help to us even personally, let alone the stories that I know from church members and others who Andy secretly helped without ever looking for any acclaim. And no one yet has replaced him in bringing donuts to church on Sunday morning. So that still is a missing gap. But will you join me now as we can give thanks for this man's life and the gifts that God gave us through him. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this man and the gifts that you entrusted to him, that this state, friends, family, his beautiful wife, Sue, have been blessed with. In the name of your son, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
For those of you attending in person, all of you, please join Mrs. Douglas and the Friends of Justice Douglas in the Grand Concourse for refreshments following adjournment. For those watching on live stream, we thank you for joining us today.
Marshall, please adjourn the court.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Open Session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.